Please turn with me now in your Bible to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 26, through chapter 6, verse 10. We've been working our way together through the book of Galatians. This morning we pick up where we left off as we want to consider together a harvest of blessing. Excuse me, again, our text this morning is from the book of Galatians. We're beginning in chapter 5 with verse 26. Let's hear God's word together. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. But brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Thus far, then, the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, your word is so rich. Your word, your truth, your promises bring healing. They bring health. They bring correction. Your word can be gentle. Your word can be firm. Your word embraces us and instructs us and leads us again to the foot of our Savior. Your word leads us to faith in Jesus. Lord in heaven, we need Jesus. We need Jesus. We long to experience more and more of your life-giving, life-transforming, life-changing Spirit. We pray for that, Lord. We pray that you'd be pleased to be with us and to minister to us and to comfort us. Lord, we are grieving as a family, and we ask for your help. We pray for your comfort, your encouragement. We're also struggling. We have different challenges and different needs. We also have opportunities and things we're excited about. And we need, Lord, to be renewed and to be refreshed. We need to be energized, to be redirected, to be made whole again. Lord, we need your grace. And so we ask for that, Lord. We ask for the filling of your Spirit, that your presence, that you yourself would come and use your word. And use your truths and use your promises to come and dwell within us and grow us and change us and fellowship with us and make us more and more like Jesus. We pray for that, Lord, that your word would accomplish its purpose, its work within us, growing us and making us more and more fruitful, more and more like our Savior. We pray, Lord, you would bring glory to yourself through your word. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about how to grow as a Christian. Once you've become a believer, now that you're trusting in Jesus Christ for your salvation, now that Jesus has become the basis for your relationship with God, how do you keep growing? How do you keep moving forward? How do you continue to make progress in the Christian life? That's really what the book of Galatians is all about. Okay? Now that you've become a believer, now that you've received the free gift of God's Spirit in your life, how do you keep growing? How do you keep moving forward? How do you advance and progress in the Christian life? That's really what the whole book of Galatians is all about. But now this morning, as we're approaching the conclusion of Paul's letter, we come to a slightly different issue. It's related, but it's a little bit different. And that's the question, how do you help another Christian grow? I mean, it's one thing for you to grow and for you to make progress and you're learning and you're becoming more like Jesus, but how do you help your kids? How do you help that woman at work? How do you help this old friend you haven't seen in a long time, but he's reached out to you? You know, how do you help other Christians mature and grow and move forward in the Christian life? That's the question before us this morning. So I want to begin by looking at our text, beginning in chapter 5 with verse 26. Paul says, "Let us not become conceited." Well, to be conceited, obviously, is to be arrogant, to be proud, to be full of yourself, to think too highly of yourself and your accomplishments. To be conceited is to have an elevated or exaggerated sense of your own importance and your accomplishments. Paul says, let's not go there. Don't focus on yourself and all that you think you've done, because when we do that, well, frankly, we tend to be difficult to live with. You know, if you're focusing on yourself and your accomplishments, then what happens is we tend to be critical of those people who don't seem to have achieved the same things that you have. You know, just we nag or we pick or we find fault or we talk about people behind their back. When you're focusing on yourself and your own accomplishments, we tend to provoke, that's the word Paul uses, we tend to provoke people who don't seem to accomplish the same things. Meanwhile, we tend to be jealous of those people who seem to have accomplished things that we haven't accomplished. And so I think that's what Paul has in mind here when he says, let's not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's not dwell upon ourselves and our own accomplishments or our lack of accomplishments. Because the only way you move forward in the Christian life is by deliberate, daily, conscious reliance on the Spirit of God. I mean, we saw that last week. The only way you move forward, the only way you make any real progress in the Christian life is by what Paul calls walking by the Spirit. And that means daily recognizing, Lord, I can't do this. I'm not the person you want me to be. I can't hold my tongue. I can't do these things. The only way you grow as a Christian is by conscious, daily reliance upon the Spirit of God. You're looking to God to grow you. You're looking to God to change you. You're looking for God to be at work in you. To put another way, you can never make yourself the person God wants you to be. And if you think you're doing, you're doing okay. You're just, you know, in your own efforts. You've set the bar too low, because you can never do in yourself everything God wants to do in you. As we've said many times, God can do way more in you and for you and to you and through you than you could ever possibly do in yourself. You can never become the person God wants you to be in your own strength. You can't make yourself that person God wants you to be. God has to do it. You know, we can't save ourselves and we can't grow ourselves. Okay, we can't save ourselves and we can't change ourselves and mature ourselves. Only the Lord can do that. Only the Lord can bring about that kind of deep, real, genuine, lasting, inward change. I mean, anybody can fake it. You know, you can put on a smile, you can go through the motions. Only God can bring about that genuine, internal, lasting transformation, that kind of spiritual change that God intends to do in your life. And so you gotta live in that kind of deliberate reliance upon the Lord, looking to Him every day, confessing your need, trusting Him for that. You got to rely on God to do it. So there's no reason to be arrogant. There's no reason to be conceited or proud, because the only way you get anywhere in the Christian life, if you've made any progress at all, the only way you've gotten where you are today is by humbling yourself and admitting that you need God's Spirit to change you. And there's nothing we can, what do you have to brag about? The only progress you ever make in the Christian life is when you humble yourself and you admit, Lord, I cannot do this. This is just too much. And it's when you humble yourself, when you admit you need God's Spirit to change you, that's when you grow. That's when you see progress. That's when you begin experiencing the life-changing work of God's Spirit working in you from the inside out to do real, permanent, meaningful, lasting change. And so Paul says, chapter 6, verse 1, brothers. He's speaking to us as believers. He's speaking to us as those who belong to Jesus, who have experienced and received the gift of God's Spirit. He's speaking to us as those who want to live for Jesus. He says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. And we saw this last week. If you're a Christian, you want to live for God. That's just part of what a Christian is, someone who is believing, depending, relying on Jesus Christ. And by doing that, by trusting Jesus, you've received God's Spirit in your life. And what does God do? But God changes you. God gives you a desire to live for him. If you don't want to live for Jesus, you're not a Christian. At some base level, you want to live for Christ, or you're not a Christian. And yet there's the old you, the old nature, the old man that wants to sabotage or undermine the work of God's Spirit within you. If you're a believer, God's Spirit is working in you at deep levels to change you and transform you and grow you. And yet there's still the old man, that old you that wants to undermine or sabotage what God's Spirit is doing you. And so as a result, sin can become like a trap, okay, or a snare we sometimes get stuck in. I think that's what Paul has in mind here. He says, if anyone is caught in any transgression. The picture there is, here's a believer who wants to live for the Lord. You want to be growing. You want to be the man or the woman God wants you to be. And yet you're stuck. Like a man who steps into a trap. You're stuck. Maybe you haven't been able to let go of something. You just haven't been able to forgive this person. You just can't get past this thing. Maybe something has happened to you that just rocked your world and you are scared to death it might happen again. You know, whatever it is, sometimes as a believer, you really want to live for God at some base fundamental level, and yet you're just stuck. And in that area of your life, for whatever reason, you're not seeing the kind of progress you need to see. Paul says, listen, when a brother or a sister is stuck in something like that, You don't look down on her. You don't look down your nose at that person. You don't shun the person. You don't make fun of the person or ignore the person. He says, you should restore him. That is, you come alongside that person and you seek to help that person. I mean, he says, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. When he says, you who are spiritual, he does not mean those of us who are more spiritual than the rest of us. That's exactly the opposite of what he just said, don't be conceited. When he's talking about being spiritual, he's meaning those people, those of you who know that could very easily be you stuck in that sin. That's what he means by being spiritual. Being spiritual means it's someone who's walking by God's Spirit who says, man, I can't do it either, and I need God's Spirit every day. He's saying, those of you who are recognizing that and you're humbling yourself and you're relying on the Spirit of God, and here you see a brother or sister who's gotten stuck in something, you need to help that person. We don't have the right to keep a distance. We don't have that option. Sometimes it's like, you know what, life is so messy and it's so overwhelming and it's so complicated and I really can't deal with her right now. We don't have that option. Paul says, brothers, if another brother or sister is stuck in something, you roll up your sleeves and you help and you work and you pray and you come alongside this person and you want to help restore her or help restore him. That's what it is to be a member of a church. You know, when you join a congregation, you're saying, I'm professing, okay, that I found my faith, my salvation in Jesus. But it's more than that. You're saying, I want to live for Jesus. And I want this body here to help me live for Jesus. I want you to hold me accountable. And I want to help you live for Jesus. That's what a congregation is. We're not just a social group. But we're a group of people who are bound together by this connection to Jesus, recognizing we all want to live for Jesus, but we all have this old nature that brings us down, and we all need help. And so a gospel community is a community of people who recognize our own weakness and our needs, our mutual need for God's Spirit to grow us and change. And so we're bound together to say, Will you help me live for Jesus if I help you live for Jesus? That's what it means to be part of a gospel congregation. Paul says, now, you want to restore this person in a spirit of gentleness and keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Again, when you help people, it's very easy to become conceited, to begin putting yourself in a different category. Now that I've arrived, I will help you with those problems that I no longer struggle with. You know, it's very easy to do that. You're trying to help somebody else, you fall into pride, or it's very easy to fall into the same sin that somebody else has fallen in. You know, somebody's telling you their struggles and their problems and all the mess, and it's easy to get just sucked in. You know, they're sharing their despair, and before you know it, oh, you've been swallowed up by. Paul says, listen, you don't have the option to plug your ears, okay, and keep people at a distance. To follow Jesus, to walk in conscious, deliberate reliance upon the Spirit of God, is, it requires coming alongside others and helping them do the same thing. And yet, you've got to be careful, because in helping others, it is easy for you yourself to fall as well. Paul says, keep watching yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Remember, in Galatians, Paul has frequently been referring to the law. And by that, he meant the Ten Commandments and the Old Testament ceremonies and sacrifices and the man-made rabbinic traditions and man-made rules. But specifically, when Paul's been talking about the law in this letter, he's talking about this whole thing that's become a system of self-righteousness. You know, Judaism had taken all this and turned it into a system of self-improvement by self-effort. And so that's what Paul has been repudiating. You don't grow by just trying harder. You don't grow by just trying to be good, by checking off your boxes and putting on a face. Paul has been rejecting that. And so he doesn't want to give the impression that's what he's talking about. So here he refers to God's law as the law of Christ. What he means here, of course, he means the law of God, the Ten Commandments, but the law as Christ has explained them and fulfilled them for us. He says, this is what the law is about. It's not about trying to be better than other people and trying to fix yourself. It is about walking in deliberate, conscious reliance on the Spirit of God. And it is about coming alongside your brother and sister and helping her and helping him when he is stuck or she is stuck. He says, you bear one another's burdens. You come alongside and you weep with each other and you pray for each other and you point one another to Jesus. He said, you do that, now we're beginning to fulfill what the law is all about. Now we're beginning to live the way God wants you to live. Now you're becoming more like Jesus. See, the way you help people, the way you help Christians grow, you provide spiritual assistance by reminding others to live in conscious dependence upon the Spirit of God for growth. I mean, that's what Paul is doing in this letter. You've got Gentile Christians who are overly impressed with Jewish Christians. And so they're thinking, man, maybe that's what I need to do. I need to become Jewish and I need to follow all these rules and maybe I'll become a better Christian. And so what is Paul doing? They're stuck. They're stuck and they're hung up on that idea. And so Paul is coming alongside of them and he's writing to them to restore them. That's what he's doing in this letter. And how is he going to restore them? How is he going to help them get back on track? It's by reminding them, brothers, you didn't get where you are by following a bunch of rules. You got where you are by the free gift of God's Spirit. And he says, and that's the way you're going to get out of it. That's the way you're going to keep growing. See, Paul is helping them by reminding them to live in this conscious reliance, dependence upon the Spirit of God. That's how you help people too. Okay, sometimes it means just being with somebody. Sometimes it's just listening. Okay, so sometimes it's providing meals. There's lots of ways we help one another. But ultimately, the goal is always not just to be friendly, but to help one another live in deliberate reliance on the Spirit of God. Because when a person does that, when you do that, you will see growth and change. Paul says, you'll reap what you sow. Verse 3. If anyone thinks he is something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Okay. Too often, we focus on ourselves and our accomplishments, and then we measure ourselves by comparing ourselves with other people. And the truth is, you can always find someone who's more talented or more gifted or more successful in some area if you're looking for it. Okay? If you're trying to measure yourself by comparing yourself to somebody else, you can always find someone who's more accomplished or more successful or more talented, who's achieved more in some area, if that's what you're looking for. You can also always find someone who's less accomplished or less talented or who's achieved less in some area, if that's what you want. Paul says, Don't do that. Don't focus on yourself and your accomplishments and try to measure yourself by comparing yourself to other people. Stop boasting by comparing yourself to one another, and instead, examine yourself. See if you really have anything to brag about. He says, if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, you're kidding yourself. He deceives himself. But let each one test his own work. And then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. In other words, you don't measure yourself by comparing yourself to somebody else. That's like a kid comes home and says, guess what, Mom? I got an F. She says, you got an F? He says, yeah, but the other kid got an F minus. That doesn't matter. You both failed. You don't brag because I did better than the kid who got the F minus. You both failed. You measure yourself by the Word of God. Then we see, do I have something to brag about? We measure ourselves by the law of Christ. That's what's going to tell us where we stand. He says, examine yourself. See if you have anything to brag about. Let each one test his own work. Then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Well, that's interesting. Paul just said we have to bear one another's burdens. You cannot just keep to yourself. We have to help one another. You got to bear each other's burdens. Now he says, now wait a minute. Every person has to bear his own load. What does he mean by that? Is he contradicting himself? I don't think so. I think what Paul is saying is you have to help other people. We have that obligation. We're connected. Okay, we're drawn together in Jesus. We live together. No man is an island. We have to help one another. But the way we help each other is by helping each other live the Christian life. Not by doing everything for other people. I mean, there's times you need to do things for people because they can't do it for themselves. There's times when people are sick and they need a meal or they need to be cared for. But at the end of the day, we're talking here about helping people live for Jesus. We're talking about helping people live in reliance upon the Spirit of God. You can't do that for somebody else. Too often we try to help people by trying to do everything for them, and that doesn't really help people in the long run. In fact, it can be demeaning. As if somehow they're not able to do it by God's Spirit, so we have to do everything for them. That's not how you help people. The way you help people is by helping them live for Jesus. You help them live the Christian life, not by doing everything for them. Everybody has their own responsibilities before God. Okay? Now, different people have different needs, different abilities, depends on your circumstances, where you are in life. But we all have our own responsibilities before God. The way you help people is not by doing everything for them, but helping them fulfill their responsibilities. And the way you do that is by pointing people to the Lord. Verse 6, Paul says, one who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. In other words, I have no right to keep myself at a distance and try to not be bothered by other people's troubles. I've got to be willing to roll up my sleeves and come alongside my brother or sister and help her. I also have to be willing to be helped. Because all of us are always struggling at some point or another, and so we have to be willing to help one another grow in the Christian life, and we have to be willing to be helped because we all need help. We all have those blind spots or those areas where we're stuck, and so we have to be willing to help others, and we have to be willing to be helped, and then we need to recognize when other people have helped us. You know, again, it can't be, look at me and look at how I've grown, but it needs to be, I would never be anywhere if it wasn't for her. I wouldn't know a thing if it wasn't for him. You know, it's this recognition that I can't do anything without God's Spirit and relying on Him. I want to help others rely on Him, and others have been helping me rely on Him, and I want to recognize who's been helping me. And I suppose being conceited, it's humbling yourself, walking in reliance on the Spirit of God. Paul says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. We can fool each other by going through the outward motions and putting on a happy face and just trying to do it ourselves. I mean, it's so easy to do sometimes to fall into just, you know, I'm too busy. I got so much to do, and I run to work, and I don't even take time to read or pray, and I'm trying to do it myself. We fool ourselves. We fool each other. You don't fool God. God knows when you're just trying to do it out of your own effort. Sometimes people become very religious sounding when they want help, you know, when they want a handout or something. Again, God's not fooled. Okay, God knows when we're really trying to live in reliance and dependence upon His Spirit. And so He uses this image from the farms, from the fields. And He says, whatever one sows, that he will also reap. You know, whatever you're planting out there, that's what you're going to grow. That's what you're going to receive. If He says, the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. If you are investing in the things of your flesh, if that's where you're putting your energy and your time, if that's what you're listening to, if you're trying to do it yourself out of your own efforts, what you're going to get, you're going to get corruption. But if you're trying to walk by the Spirit, if you are consciously leaning on Jesus and you're relying on God, if you're trusting God's Spirit and you're asking for God's Spirit, and that's what you're investing in, He says, the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. You know, I think Paul's deliberately using this image of sowing and planting because it takes time. It takes time. You know, you may have done something last night that you should not have done. And you wake up this morning and you think, huh, well, I haven't been hit by lightning. No, that's right. You probably haven't been. And yet you got to ask yourself, but where is that lifestyle going to take you? That's what Paul's talking. You know, you plant. It takes time for things to grow. But that's what Paul's saying. Where is that lifestyle going to take you over time? On the other hand, sometimes people say, well, I read my Bible yesterday. It didn't help. The kind of deep, meaningful, lasting transformation God intends to do in your life is not going to happen overnight. It takes time. It's like the farmer who plows the field and he plants the seed and he waters and he waits and he waits and he prays and he waits. The kind of work that God intends to do within you doesn't happen overnight. But He says, if you will rely on Jesus, if you will depend on God's Spirit, if you'll turn to Him, and if you will just give up on self and do it in the Spirit of God, in God's timing, you will see fruit. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, and you feel like, I never seem to grow. I don't seem to get anywhere in life. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's somebody you're helping. Maybe you get discouraged because you feel like, you know, I try to talk to people about the Lord, and I never seem to see any progress. God does not give us a promise that every person you talk to will come to know Jesus, or that every person you talk to is going to listen. But this is what He says. He says, listen, if you're walking in dependence upon God's Spirit, if you're giving your life in, God can be trusted. Your flesh cannot be trusted. Your own flesh cannot be trusted. God can. And if you are investing in the things of the Spirit, if you're resting in the, if you're depending and relying, God can be trusted. And in God's time, in God's way, you will see fruit. You will see success. You will see a harvest. Paul says, don't stop trusting in the Lord and living by faith. If you're investing in the things of the Spirit, you'll see results. He says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Paul says, whenever you have an opportunity, every time you have an opportunity, do good to anybody and everybody. You don't ever know what God's doing. You never know. But whenever you have an opportunity, do somebody good. And it may seem tiny. It may seem insignificant. It might just be a kind word in passing. Or it might be time consuming. And you may be pouring your life into somebody. Paul says, in effect, do all the good you can. But you do it in reliance on God's Spirit. And he says, do all the good you can, especially to the household of faith. Now, why would he qualify it in that way? Don't we want to see unbelievers coming to know Jesus? Of course we do. But I think what he has in mind here is that you're witnessing to a non-Christian. You don't know if the person's going to respond. Do good to them anyway. You don't know. But he says, but you're talking about a believer here. That's what he's talking about here, helping believers. Fellow, if this person's really a believer, God's Spirit already dwells in that person's life. If God's Spirit already dwells in that person's life, you're going to see some progress. You're going to see some response. You're going to see some fruit. It might take time, but you're going to see something because that's what God's Spirit does. And so Paul says, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't stop trusting in the Lord and living by faith if you're investing in the things of the Spirit. Okay, in God's way, in God's time, you're going to see results. You're going to experience that harvest of blessings in your life. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, perhaps especially with everything we as a church family have been through over the last few weeks, we feel sometimes keenly our profound need for you. We feel our own limitations. We grow frustrated. We grow discouraged. The ups and the downs of life, sometimes they're just too much, and we can't do it. You said that to your disciples, that apart from you, we can do nothing. We are just not able to bear the kind of spiritual fruit you call us to bear. We can't do it in our own strength. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, we know that. We believe that. You have told us the fruit of your Spirit. What your Spirit does in us is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. You are faithful. You will do these things. You can be trusted. You are working in us. You are changing us. We bless you for that. Lord, we look forward to seeing more and more what you're doing, because your goodness and your faithfulness is greater than our sin. Your goodness and faithfulness is greater than our weaknesses. You have committed to grow us, and you're doing that, and you will do it, and you will use us. Lord, you've called us to be part of your kingdom. You've called us to minister and to love and to restore one another. And you've said, as we do it in reliance on you, you will use that. And we will see fruit. We'll see progress. We'll see success in the lives of others because your Spirit is willing and able to do that. We thank you for that, Lord. Help us. Help us to live in conscious dependence and reliance on you. Lord, we pray this, Father, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you've just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.